Praise the Lord. Jennifer, I'm glad to see you this morning. You know, one of these days we'll get to turn that cross into a crown. A lot of people don't believe in the cross anymore. They're rejecting it. They say that, why do they need a cross? Jesus has already suffered, so why should we? That's not right. That's not true. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord shall deliver you out of them all. That's what he said. You may go through some things, but you'll go through it. You'll pass on through it. And in that valley, maybe you have gained some more of the character of Jesus. And that's what the valleys are for, to transform us into his image, that the world might see Jesus. How else are they going to know about the Lord? We're supposed to be his witnesses. He said, you shall be my witnesses in Samaria, Judea, and the uttermost parts of the earth. It starts with Jerusalem. That's home. How's it working in your home? You can't have a home anymore without Jesus. You'll end up divorced. Early this morning, the Lord spoke to me about Jesus walking on the water. And that's what we're going to read this morning. It's in Matthew, the 14th chapter. And we're going to start with verse 22. I guess it was about 6 weeks ago the Lord spoke to me and said, be strong and of good courage, for the winds of adversity are blowing across the land. And the only other time he gave me that scripture was when we started to build the church. And yes, the winds of adversity were blowing. Anytime you go do something for the Lord and you're in God's will, you're going to have a battle. It's a, be strong and have good courage. All right, let's read this. And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him to the other side. And Jesus had been ministering, and he wanted to go off by himself and pray. And after the Lord has used you, you need to get off by yourself and pray and be refilled with the Spirit. It was the pattern that Jesus had, and he said for us to follow him. He would minister, and then he would get off with the Father and pray and get himself rebuilt back in the Spirit. So he sent the disciples and told them, says, you go on over to the other side. While he sent the multitude away, and when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. And I don't think it said what time he started. Does it really matter how long we pray? You know, you can get so caught up in his presence that you can lose time. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. The wind was getting up. My daughter and granddaughter are going to go on a cruise, and I got to thinking about, here it's going to be hurricane season right when they're going. So I'm going to have to do some tall praying about that. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the waves. The fourth watch of the night starts at 3 o'clock and it ends at 6. So it was 3 o'clock in the morning that Jesus came walking on the water. A lot of people get woke up at 3 o'clock in the morning to pray. And that's when Jesus will come to you and sit with you, and you can converse with the Lord and talk to him and tell him about all your needs, and he will answer. Jesus went unto them walking on the waves. Now that must have been a sight. Anytime those sailors saw some kind of image out there walking on the water, whether it be a spirit or whatever, they were usually shipwrecked. And so it scared these disciples to death. And when the disciples saw him walking on the water, they were troubled, saying, "It is a spirit," and they cried out with fear. They thought it was a demon. They didn't recognize it was the Lord. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid." And Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water." And he said, "Come." And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid and began to sink. He cried, saying, "Lord, save me." Now, you know, the water is symbolic of the Spirit of God. And we can walk in the Spirit. We can walk on the waters, not literally like Jesus did, but we're called to walk in the Spirit. And no matter what kind of storm that there is, if you're in the boat with Jesus, he'll still that storm. He will take care of the problem. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, "O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?" And see, when that storm's all around us and different things keeps happening, our faith is sorely tried. And we're wondering, "God, have I missed you? Are you in this?" We begin to question and to doubt. And when they were coming to the ship, the wind ceased. Oh, there's always peace in his presence. Then, though they were in the ship, those that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, "Of a truth, thou art the Son of God." Hallelujah. Lord, we thank you for your holy word and that you can speak to us and calm our troubled hearts over situations. And instead of looking at the circumstances, instead of keeping their eyes on Jesus, they got scared and they got to thinking they was going to sink. And we've all got a wind of adversity blowing us against us right now. And I mean them winds is high and things is going on that you wish you could walk off from. Where are you going to go? You can't walk off and leave the Lord. And if he tells you to be still, are you going to be still or are you going to try to fix that thing yourself? You know, you may suffer the loss of all things for Christ's sake. Are you willing to do that? You have to give it over to God and let him carry you through the winds of adversity. And a lot of we don't want to deal with it, you know. We'd rather just ignore it or walk off and leave it. But the Bible says when you've done everything, stand therefore. And that's where you start praising God. There is a song in the night, a song of praise. And Paul and Silas knew that song. They'd been beat half to death for casting out a devil. Don't you have compassion enough to pray for somebody that's got a spirit trying to torment them to death? Are you not willing to pay the price? You're going to get attacked if you're going to follow Jesus. He got in trouble all the time, didn't he? Stirred up all them religious spirits and all them devils. But the Lord said, "I'll give you power over all the power of the devil. And nothing shall by any means hurt you." Now, if you're in a spiritual war and you're a soldier of the cross, where are you going to run to? Where are you going to retreat? You don't have no armor on the backside of you. You better learn how to stand, and when you stand, therefore, stand. They've got together this one world church now where everybody's going to worship together. We got the Buddhas, the Hindus, the Muslims, the Catholics, and there are some well-known ministers with big churches that's going to join right up with them. You better have a relationship with Jesus, because when the storms come, you need to know what you're supposed to do. There'll be a coming of persecution against the true church of Jesus Christ because we're not going to join in. Joshua said, as far as me and my house, I shall serve the Lord. Are you going to be wishy-washy and people pleasers? Oh, well, I guess if everybody else is doing it, we ought to too. Come out and be a separate and touch no unclean thing. It's an unclean thing to bow down to Buddha and Mohammed. And I don't know anything about the rest of them. But the only living God I know is Jesus, and he rose from death. You don't have to set him out any food by his statue. This world's going crazy. When the police was called on me the other day, the guy was getting a message from Oledo, and somebody was fighting over a fence, and the one that was putting up the fence was chucking the fence posts at the other people. And I looked at him and I said, the whole world's going nuts. Absolutely nuts. If you don't stay under the blood of Jesus, them devils going to get you. We're supposed to walk with Jesus, not go in and out and back and forth. Be ye steadfast and unmovable. I don't know what it's going to cost you. I got an idea what it might cost me. Are you willing to suffer the loss of all things to follow Jesus? It might mean some of your family. Are you willing? Do you really love him enough to do that? If you have no relationship with him, you're not going to do that. But if you love him more than all else besides, you can't walk off and leave him. You love him. He's become your whole life. I wouldn't know what to do without the Lord. I told him this morning, I said, you can have it all. Do whatever you want to do. This earth is a temporal place. And we're coming to the end of the age. Are you going to be standing naked for God? If you're not clothed from on high, you're going to be standing naked. That means no protection. I'd rather be under the blood of Jesus when this thing's falling apart. United States is going broke. All the other countries are going broke. We stopped at Farmer's Market. I shouldn't have done it. But I bought a little basket of tomatoes for $6, and I got to counting, and they were six little tomatoes. It was a dollar a piece. The Bible said it'll take a day's wages to buy a loaf of bread. How close are we to that right now? I only could buy $28 worth of food at the food bank this week. If nobody's going to give to the food bank, there ain't going to be no way to go down there getting to feed anybody. You're going to have to learn how to trust God. Just like the Israelites that come out of Egypt, he fed them 40 years, didn't he? He's the same God we serve. That song, what have I to dread? What have I to fear? Lean, and you better learn how to lean on Jesus instead of your own way. I'll do something. Well, you'll get to the place where you can't do anything. You're going to have to trust Jesus. Or the devil is going, you'll go over to the devil. The Lord gave Reuben a dream and showed him these numbers on this lady's head, forehead. Have you got the mark of the cross on your forehead, or do you have a number? There ain't going to be no more lukewarm Christians or morally good people. You're either going to have to come all the way in with Jesus, or the devil's getting you. And that's just the size of it. They may not be a whole lot of people here. They may not be ready to walk where they're supposed to walk. You start mentioning the devil and they take off. But it says resist the devil and he'll flee. We don't have to be afraid of Satan. Jesus said, I'll give you power over all the power of the world. Peter got to looking at them waves and his circumstances and, oh God, I'm going to go under. No, you will not. Not if you're in the boat with Jesus. He's my judge, he's my lawyer, he's my defense. If I let him. I've always had a problem with my mouth, keeping my mouth shut. And the word says silence is the beginning of wisdom. You don't fight violence with violence. We're not fighting people, we're fighting principalities and powers of darkness and wickedness in high places. We're not fighting our kin folks or our neighbors or the city. It's Satan. Poor old J.W. even got jumped on this week. Got right up in his face. Says, what business is it yours? Oh, hallelujah. I don't know about tomorrow. I don't even know about this afternoon. The Lord could show up any time. Are you ready? You know, Lot's wife looked back. She was looking at all her stuff, probably. You better have all that stuff already on the altar, because you're not taking nothing with you. That's about all I got to say this morning, except I've got a few more scriptures here that I would like to read to you about adversity. 2 Chronicles, the 15th chapter, verse 7. Be ye strong, therefore, and let not your hands be weak, for your work shall be rewarded. See, your hands are symbolic of service and work. God gave us these hands to use. Psalms 94, verse 19. In the multitude of my thoughts within me, thy comforts delight my soul. See, your thoughts can get you all in a turmoil if you're trying to figure out how to handle your situation. If you get your mind back on Jesus, he will comfort you with his thoughts. And his thoughts is the word of God. Isaiah 30, verse 20. Now here's about adversity, Terry. And though the Lord give you the bread of adversity and the waters of affliction, yet shall not thy teachers be removed into a corner anymore, but thine eyes shall see thy teachers. In other words, the work of God is going to go on. And there'll always be a battle. I've been reading a book about the early Christians and how they were burned at the stake. Because they wouldn't renounce Jesus. Or they'd cut their heads off. Or they just torture them. Because they wouldn't renounce Jesus. Well, if you don't love him, it'd be real easy to say, I don't know the man. You got to have a made up mind where you're going to stand and not be double-minded. You're either Christian or you're not. And you don't want to stand in a place where you're going to make somebody else stumble. Well, I thought they was a Christian. You know, when the Lord called me a long time ago, he said, follow me. and do whatever I tell you to do. And that still stands. That stands for all of y'all to follow Jesus. That's all he said to the disciples, follow me. Terry's fixing to get an assignment from the Lord, and he's been under attack. If y'all care to pray for him when you pray. You know, the devil's mean and vicious. Somehow or other, he knew about baby Jesus going to be born, and immediately he started killing all them babies. They've been killing babies ever since way back there. This lady found a baby back there in a dumpster at Hazel behind the shopping center and went to churches trying to find money to bury the little thing, and she couldn't get no help. We don't do that sort of thing. Well, I'd give her some money if she'd come out here, whatever I had. J.W. read in the paper about these two old people couldn't load their donkeys, and so they got two trucks and they tied a donkey behind each truck and drug them and just almost killed them, and somebody called the law on them and they put them old people in jail. You'd think as time as that old they might have a little compassion. There's so many scriptures in here about being kind to animals. The hoof was pulled off one of them, wasn't it?
That happened last week.
All kinds of demonic activity all around us. And the Bible says, O daughter of Zion, arise and shake thyself. We've been into some kind of stupor or just said, well, it's time to go to church. And you go in there and you leave and you go right back to doing the same old, same old. A lot of people don't even know when the Holy Ghost left them. They still going through the formality that they learned. Preach, pray, sing, whatever, and the Holy Ghost is done left. You can't no longer go do drugs one day and then serve God the next. You're going to be turned over to a reprobate mind, I'm telling you today. And you'll be crying for mercy and there'll be no mercy. They mocked and ridiculed Moses for about 100 years, I think it was. And when they went in the ark, God himself closed the door. And it began to rain. And they started pounding on the door of that thing. I'm sure Moses wanted to open it, but God shut the door. When God shuts the door, it's too late. Judas sought repentance and found none, it said. He went and hung himself. God will only deal with you so long. I know a man that would go back and forth, back and forth. And it was about 12 years ago, this man sent me to Peter Smith to pick him up and bring him home. And he kept trying to jump out of my van. And I told this man I was working for, don't send me after him anymore. I couldn't hardly keep him in the van. One day he can preach and pray and sing. The next day he's doing drugs and got him a woman. He went down the church, down the road with a sword, going to kill everybody. They run him off. He come down here with a gun. That's the only Sunday I've been gone. That man shows up back there and going to kill everybody. And when he left here, the police picked him up. And he's calling that evening wanting me to come and get him out of jail. And I said, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. This has been going on all these years. Who do we think God is anyway? He's not a puppet on a string that we can manipulate. He is the Lord God of heaven and earth, the creator of all mankind. And we can't even bow our head or give him any respect. I don't want to crucify him over and over again. Lord Jesus, we give you this place and our lives and these people. And we don't know when you're coming, but we know the winds of adversity is blowing. And will you anoint us to stand for you? That we won't bow down to the enemy? Lord, pour your spirit out upon us and give us your courage and your strength. We ask you in the name of Jesus. I don't know what y'all dealing with, but everybody in here is dealing with something. If you're a Christian, you're dealing with something. And it's not very pleasant. But if you'll seek the face of Jesus, he'll bring you through. He's your healer. He's your deliverer. And he's our judge, our lawyer, and our defense. And so, I've got to learn to keep my mouth shut. That's hard. That's a hard lesson, to learn to be quiet. Especially when you're falsely accused or being called every name in the book. It's hard to stand there and take that. But you can do all things through Christ Jesus. I want God to change me in my adversity happening. Because it says all things can work for good. It'll make you a better Christian if you'll let God bring you through it. We're going to pray for whoever's prayer this morning. God's here. And when he leaves, I'm gone. If he tells me time to close the door, we'll close the door.